Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has so much to say to us, His people. Today is August the 20th, 2021. I began to give the date so that people have, they'll know the date. But nevertheless, God is moving by His Spirit. And I thank the Lord for that. Yesterday's broadcast was Judging You. And we're going to go forward and speak God's word. I thank God for what He's doing. The Lord loves us. And as we draw near to Him, He draws near to us, He helps us to see things we couldn't normally see on our own. It's very important that people relate to God. Daniel told us that he showed us that they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. When the church is under fire, when the church is being attacked, and see, in battle, when in conflict, people do, if they're caught off guard, they just do the best they know. But when you're with God, God will show you what's coming and prepare you. And when the time comes, you'll be ready. Or you'll be prepared in Him. In other words, if you're used to taking orders from God, and something comes upon you and surprises you, He'll give you wisdom and you won't be alerted. You won't be fearful. You won't be afraid of sudden fear. You have the ability to rely on Him in the worst cases. Now, judging from things that I went through, all of these things are going to happen. Unless you go home to be with the Lord real quick. Over time, you're going to experience all kind of things. And I'm going to give some examples. But when you're dedicated to following God, some people only follow God under pressure. But when I'm talking about following God, not just when there's an emergency, all the time, especially when things are going well, that's the time to really draw near to get to know Him, because you're not distracted. Now, it's good when people have an emergency and they, you know, somebody in their family has been diagnosed with cancer and it's not looking good. Okay, they go on their knees like they should have been doing a long time ago and they start crying out to the Lord. But then they got to overcome their worry, their fear, their grief, their anxieties, all these things. Sometimes people pull it off too. And then when everything is done, their loved one is back to normal and in good health, they go back to their old routine. But when you follow God, he's somebody you talk to every day. And He's somebody you continually listen to every day. And when He gives you orders, it's not strange, because that's your custom. Following God becomes your custom, your everyday routine. It's the most important thing of your day. You know, in my walk with the Lord, He clues me. I love it. Out of everything that I do, riding motorcycles, sports, activities, watching TV. I love movies. I love to watch a good movie with a good plot. And it's just, that's one of my pastimes. I love it. But more than that, when the Lord told me His return is imminent, most days I want to do something I want to watch things that's going to help me grow in Him. I want to know everything I can and know what to pray for. And I love God. I love spending time with Him. I'm going to be so excited when I am raptured. And I just talking to the Lord, and you know, it gives you purpose. When you have love in your heart, you have purpose. When you have pride in your heart, you have no purpose. I'm going to say that say that again. When you have His love in your heart, you have purpose. When you have pride in your heart, you have no purpose. Whatever you touch will start dying. But when you have His love in your heart, you have purpose. Satan has no purpose of God. It's not a sanctioned purpose. He's going to attract everything dark. And this he bears dark fruit, and he coerces people. He drives people. Fear is a driver. Satan is a driver. He drives people to darkness. People that don't make up their mind to love God, he drives all of them to darkness. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Everything that won't follow God, he will drive it his way. Because they don't secure their purpose in God. In order to have, the only way to have purpose is to receive salvation that takes love and walk in the God kind of love. That's the only way you'll ever have purpose. But when pride is introduced, fear and doubt comes with it. When you have lust, that's the avenue that leads to pride. Greed, the avenue that leads to pride. And once you get to pride, you have no purpose. The other distractions, you can drive it away. Love will drive all of it out of your path. Think about it this way. Pride is the worst. Perfect love drives out fear. Fear is attached to pride. I just saw this. Perfect love drives out fear because now you have living purpose. No connection with the darkness. The love of God is too powerful for pride. When a person decides, I'm going to do it God's way, they got purpose now. Because in order to get there, you got to break through the bonds of pride. That's why people don't come to the Lord. They don't want their darkness exposed because they don't want to look bad. They don't want to look weak. But they are. And when they go to hell, they know. But when you follow God, and you take God at his word, you have purpose. People that won't get saved, they have no purpose. They don't even understand their strengths. And they get consumed by their weaknesses. They don't understand their purpose. And they never will. And they have, you know, God has plans for them. If they get saved, if they share his love, you can't just get saved. You have to walk in the love of God to have purpose. People that get saved and don't fully walk in the love of God, they have covenant. And if they stay out of trouble, they'll be like the people that Paul wrote about in Acts chapter, I think it's 20. He says, stay away from fornication, things offered to idols, and something else. It was three things he told them to leave alone. They would, and they'll be fine. If they at least do that, they won't fall off the cliff. In other words, see, God loves us. When you think of salvation, if you get saved, you're in covenant. You are already one. Now, if you walk in his love, you'll fulfill the law. You won't get trapped again. And that's our law now, love. We have one law. It's easy to understand. Walk in love, you fulfill the law. You got purpose. You don't need the distractions of the world. And then you do drive them out. You have to drive it out because it'll come back as leaven. And if you allow lust, greed, or pride to develop in your life through your hurts, your weaknesses, hurts, and fears, if you let that happen, the enemy is going to drive you. And his goal is to get you to curse God and die anyway. That's what he's always attempting to do. But sometimes people won't get to that point, but they will live a life of in and out, trying to please the world and trying to please God. And see, when people become lukewarm, a lukewarm state of being is when you get to the point you won't budge. You won't be cold or hot. You just stay there. You in the middle. The Lord told me recently, you can't get a lukewarm person saved. He already spit them out. I'm sorry. They will not follow God. They will not do the things of God. They won't budge because they're lukewarm. Now, I told my son just yesterday, I don't know who they are. But I know they won't come back now. Because of what God told me. He said, you can't get them saved. So I focus my prayers on who I can help. And that's what Jesus did. We read the Luke chapter 17 last week. And the whole prayer of Jesus. And if you go back and study John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus, the prayer that Jesus prayed over us, it gave clarity. Because people who are in love with the world, they are, and they become an enemy against God. Why? Because Satan drives them to darkness. They wouldn't make up their mind one way or the other. So for everybody that don't make up their mind to follow God, Satan will drive them into darkness. And he has a dead purpose. He's a garbage man. That's it. And nobody needs to follow that. They need to follow God. It's reasonable to follow. I have tried to understand the wicked for a long time. Why would a person leave the love of God and they know better? You know, I understand a part of it because before I was saved, I didn't know God. But now that I know him, there's no way I'm going to go back to the world. I'm going to do everything God requires, everything he says, and I'm going to do it in his strength. And the things that I don't know, that I'm not skilled at, he'll make the difference. And I'll follow him by my love. If I set my heart to love God and follow him, I won't have a problem. Whatever happened, I don't have fear. Because if perfect love cast out fear, that meant that it cast out pride. Fear and pride is connected. Everybody I ever seen that operate in pride, they always operate in fear. Their control, they stay in pride because of their fear. They want to appear something that they're not. They fear because when you're disconnected from God, you don't have a backbone. When you're disconnected from God and the love of God, you're all alone. And you fear. Satan is afraid. He's afraid of people. My niece, I dreamt that she got killed. And by two guys, years ago. And my first wife's niece. And she was the flower girl in our wedding. And the Lord gave me this dream that showed me that she got killed by two guys. One guy killed her and the other guy assisted. And I woke up, I said, Lord, what was that about? And he said, Satan wants to kill her. He said, he's afraid. And then he said, he's afraid of her potential. He said, Satan is afraid of her potential because she had a love for God. And she started a Bible class. I warned her. I prayed for her and I warned her. I said, do what you're supposed to do. Don't do anything you shouldn't do. The enemy wants to kill you, but don't be afraid. I told him, I said, obey your mother, obey your parents, you know, do what you're supposed to do. And he won't be able to touch your life. But things happen. And it happened. She did get killed. But the point is, Satan wanted her dead because he was afraid of her potential. That's not something that you can make up on your own. That's something that God revealed to me. And I'm sharing that because he's afraid. He's desperate. Satan is desperately afraid. He's afraid of all of us. He's not like you think. He's a coward. He's hiding now. He does what he can get away with. We have full authority over Satan and all of his kingdom, everything in it. Jesus said, put it this way, Luke chapter 19 is the most clear verse. But guess what? He said it to the people who were the first to walk in authority beside him. The 70 returned with joy. See, if you pay attention to how Jesus do things, you'll notice protocols. And you know, now God told Peter, after Peter was able to say who Jesus was, he said, man didn't reveal that to you, Peter. The Father revealed it to you. And on this rock I'll build my church. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Peter was the first one that Jesus addressed about authority, concerning authority. And he was the first to reveal, to point out, to voice who Jesus was of his disciples. Now, Simon and Anna, they knew that he was Lord. They were looking for him. But Peter was the first one that he dealt with about his authority. And then Luke chapter 10, he sent out another 70 also. See, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Okay, I'm going to skip on down. He gave them a protocol. I love protocols. You see, when you have the direction of God, you have anointing. Anointing always comes with protocol. If God gives you a protocol and anointing goes with it, that means you can do it. All right. You're going to sometimes you may feel the oil of God pour over you. And when I did my second radio broadcast, I felt anointing oil run down my face. Felt like warm honey, thick. Okay, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, now watch this. Behold, Satan is, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now he spelled it out to the 70. He revealed authority to Peter, but they walked in authority, so they got the first and best teaching about our authority. That one phrase, how many sentences is that? All right, first he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That showed him that Satan is reduced. He's not over you. He's kicked out. Thrown down. Thrown down like lightning. Lightning comes down fast. Nothing is more attracted to the gravity of the earth than lightning. Now, and I beheld, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's talking to people that were excited about receiving instructions and following through with it. He was talking to people that were subject to him. He was talking to people that couldn't wait to obey God. And he gave them power and spelled it out. See how many sentences it is. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's one sentence with a semicolon. That's two thoughts in that. Two complete thoughts. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. See, and is a conjunction. That's one thought. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the other thought in one sentence. Okay. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's no reason for you to share Satan's fear when you got the authority and he has none. Whatever he has under his control, don't fear it. Also, you have to understand this. Don't ever look at him being over you. He was kicked out, thrust down. You are picked up. You're in Christ. You speak in the name of Jesus. which is the same as Jesus. The name of Jesus is the same as Jesus. The name of Jesus is the same as Jesus. The name of Jesus is the same as Jesus. So when you enforce Satan's defeat, he's defeated, and that's that. He cannot go beyond you if you speak in faith. If you love God, see, the blood of Jesus destroyed our sins and purified us. But when you walk in his love, you're walking in his name. When you walk in his love, you receive his counsel. When you walk in his kind of love, you receive his knowledge. When you walk in his kind of love, you receive his wisdom. When you walk in his kind of love, the fear of the Lord works in your life. When you walk in his kind of love, you're connected to God. When you speak the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus. Period. When you walk in his love, there's nothing. The might of God is yours. Whatever you need. If you're in a situation and you may not have natural weapons, there is legions of angels at your command that protects you. A man got robbed, but he robbed the wrong one. This man was the man that he tried to, he was a hitchhiker. I heard the story. The man was nice enough to try to help him. He pulled the gun on him, going to take his car, his money, whatever. And the man, the Christian man, said, "That I'm not going to die by that gun." He said, and the man emptied his gun out point blank, and no bullet touched him. Then the Christian man got him and took him where he was going and counseled him, and the man got saved. I heard this testimony many years ago. I'm doing my best to not mess it up, but that's what happened. The man ended up getting saved because he couldn't kill the Christian because angels are around. A man walked into church, pulled the gun on John Hagee, and emptied his gun, and no bullet touched John Hagee. Pastor Hagee. And you know, he's a big sized man. No bullet touched him, period. And the whole church was there watching. Witnesses, they got it on camera. Then the police came and took that man and put him in the insane asylum. We have angels all around us. When you love God, you are not alone, and you are not under the will of Satan. There's a lot here in this one sentence. See, God, don't ever underestimate what God can do in your life. You have his authority. You have the same authority that Jesus has. Jesus walked in the same authority that he gave us to walk in. Behold, I give, he gave it to us. I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. People were afraid of serpents and scorpions because it's hard to get better if you get bit. No more. Jesus gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. The word all, and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Everything. Anything, which means anything under Satan's power has no power over you. Unless you don't understand what's yours. Unless you don't know what's yours. If you don't know what's yours, and you believe that that thing has power over you, it can kill you. But if you stand your ground, it cannot. The angels, when you speak the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus speaking. And it's recognized by God, who has angels camped all around you. Too many angels are unemployed. You think people are unemployed in this country. And there's a lot of people happen to be unemployed. Some by choice, some by devastation. But the angels are unemployed around too many Christians. because they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't walk in the love of God. They walk in fear instead. You know, they have out of covenant with God. So they need to, now is the time to walk in the love of God. Be who you are in Him. Do what He does. Stop looking at other people. The blessings and, you know, the blessed leaders we have, that's wonderful, but blessed pastors and their wives, the blessed people that live according to the word. Thank God for all of them. The blessed, my parents were pastors. My mother served my father. My father served God. He served us. He loved my mother. And they worked together well. And thank God for them. But look unto Jesus. You have to look beyond the best pastors you know, the ones that blessed you in the past. You have to look to, if you look to a man, that's all you're going to get. That's going to be the limit of your faith. You're designed by Jesus to outgrow everybody that helped you learn Him. That's not a pride thing. That's just the way it is. Remember something. We can read about the writings of Paul in a few hours. Because I had the New Testament on cassette. And you can listen. You can start at Matthew. And before the day is over, you will have. Well, I give it 2 days. In 2 days, you can listen to the whole Bible, New Testament. All right, everything Paul wrote, everything Peter wrote, everything John wrote, and you can do that for a year. That's going to cause you to grow. If you act on it, you'll be doing, you can do this, you know, according to what God gives you to do. You can do the same things they did in a short amount of time. You are designed by God to grow beyond. David said it first. He said, thy word has caused me to be wiser than my teachers. Psalm 19, around 89 or 90, somewhere in there. Your word has made me wiser than my teachers. See, Jesus said it again. He that believe will do greater works than me. If you'll do greater works than Jesus, you definitely can do greater works than those who follow Jesus. See, if you really go back and study what Peter did, First Peter, if you read and study what First Peter did, it's greater than the Sermon on the Mount. This is why. The Sermon on the Mount, they were still dealing with the law. Jesus was introducing them to life. But they were not connected in covenant yet. They were still under the law. And they didn't know, they didn't believe on Jesus yet. But they were hearing Him teach. Peter was washed in the blood, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And now he has the foundation that Jesus laid, salvation and covenant and authority. Then he wrote 1 Peter. 1 Peter will help you in every relationship, and it will be productive relationships. The same thing in the writings of Paul, Titus, Timothy, Thessalonians. They are building on the foundation that Jesus had to lay. Jesus laid the foundation, and they're walking in it and growing. Paul told Peter, don't let anybody despise your youth, because it's not about your age, it's about who you look to. Spiritual maturity are those who look to God. When I asked him about the anointing, I said, Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? He said, it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. He's not talking about physical age. He's talking about spiritual age or spiritual maturity. People are expected to grow over time. But that's time, that the time it takes you to grow is depends on your own personal dedication and how much you want to know God. A child can become mature if they spend time with the Lord, loving God and receiving what He has to say. They can be anointed. It's rare, but it can happen. So a man or a person that's spiritually mature. There are teenagers that get saved, and I've heard testimonies where the teenagers, or the son or daughter, they minister to their parents and their parents get saved. And then they help their parents walk in God's way and come off drugs or whatever they're into. In your walk with the Lord, you're going to witness all kind of things happen. The theme of this message is we're not limited anymore. Don't pretend to be limited. If you walk in the God kind of love, you are not limited. You have the power over Satan and all the things he's causing to come forward. Now, remember something else. They didn't say you were smarter than him. You have authority over him. His evil goes beyond your comprehension. So, toe to toe, man, being to being, you're not wise. You don't have the kind of knowledge he has. He's very witty and resourceful with it. But if you're looking to Jesus, you outclass him and you have the authority. That's what I'm saying. And you have to keep looking to Jesus to do it. If you follow God, then you won't. Satan can be very obedient to your commands, but he's smarter than you. But Jesus is smarter than him, because Jesus made everything. But Satan is thousands of years old. You're less than 100 in most cases. Anyway, you're less than 200 years old. I can cover everybody. Nobody lives that old now. Well, anyway, you have authority over the enemy, all the power, the power of the enemy. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in Jesus, because through his love, you can do all things. I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory.